You're listening to Rock Bottom Radio, broadcasting from deep in the Turfnet Zone. Here's your host, Randy Wilson.
Thank you, thank you. Welcome to Rock Bottom Radio, not your ordinary podcast. We're more like old-time radio, you know, your grandfather's radio. We're sponsored by Dryject, a brilliant method for greens management, and also Turfnet, the toughest golf site on the web. Today's show topic is anger. We've got spoiled, angry golfers complaining about conditions. We have folks blaming other generations for everything. Even the young kids are angry. This is a PSYOP technique practiced by the upper folks to keep us all distracted, unable to see what the real problem is. And that problem is usually what the upper-uppers are actually doing. It's a divide-and-conquer tactic, triggering boomers to blame Gen Z and millennials to hate boomers and on and on. You get the idea. Next time you feel yourself being pulled in that direction, ask yourself, where are they trying to steer me? It's mostly sleight of hand, not truth. Here at Rock Bottom, we have angry readers mad about some column I wrote, or angry listeners of the radio show, and we have especially angry viewers of Rock Bottom films.
All right, settle down. I'm calling this special meeting to order. Let's discuss why folks are so angry.
Yeah, why are they so angry?
We're angry because we lost.
So you lost. We lost last time. We didn't get all psychotic.
Willie, why do you think folks is angry?
Personally, I think it's the internet. We just didn't have this kind of rage until about 99. About the same time as those kids in Colorado got off their meds and...
There you go again, blaming medicine.
No, I'm blaming phones. I read a new study the other day about how depressed and anxious the kids are, and these kids were raised on phones. The study said an entire generation has been raised on phones and not playing outside. That's all they do, sit home with their phones. That would make anybody anxious. Not getting outside and breathing and getting the blood flowing, running around playing physical games.
What about Cletus? He weren't raised on phones and he's angry.
What are you angry about, Cletus?
Well, for one thing, that Chinese AI, you know, but see, I downloaded it and it took over my phone. Before I knew it, that thing enrolled me in the Atlanta Men's Glee Club.
Well, you do need to get out more.
But it was you. You probably behind this.
Oh, you broke my dentures.
Mama's getting angry.
Mama's the most even-tempered woman ever. She's mad as hell all the time.
Enough. Enough of this foolishness. We're going to get some actual anger management training.
From who? You? That'd be like taking integrity lessons from an NFL ref.
No, not me. From professionals.
Like who?
Well, I contacted Paul McCormick, Anthony Williams, and Dave Wilbur to come speak to us today.
Really? Where are they?
They got mad and hung up. But I did get Klaus Schickelgruber from Golf Tyrants Incorporated.
GTI, ain't that a car?
Let's give a warm welcome to Klaus.
Thank you, boys. Please excuse the attire. My robe is still at the laundry. This Star Trek suit is all I have.
That's quite all right, Klaus. Start your class. We don't have much time. There's a shotgun start in 2 hours, and we have to prep the course for a DNC fundraiser.
Very well. Let us begin by telling the class what makes us angry. You there, state your name and what makes you angry.
Okay. I'm Willie. And let's see. UFOs, drones, and people like you make me angry.
Are you sure people like me make you angry?
No. Truth be told, you make me livid, enraged.
But my turn. I'm Cletus, and I'm disgusted by over-engineered, overly complex cars, appliances, equipment, tools, and pretty near everything. It's all menu-driven with a pitiful lifespan, and instruction manuals don't make no sense.
What about you, old man?
My name is Buford, and I'm angry because the robots still ain't ready yet. Oh, they say the robots are ready, but they ain't. They don't even answer when you offer to buy them a drink or take them on a date.
Both those are store mannequins.
That gives us enough to work with, sir.
I got one for you. Y'all hear about private equity wants access to our 401ks? They say there's $12 trillion in there that they can't get their hands on because of some law, and they can't help us invest our retirement money unless we...
They want our houses, too. in her land.
I heard if you paint your house blue, the ray beams can't burn it.
I'm just using a blue tarp roof now.
Won't be long before they take our golf courses and cover them with tiny apartments. It's already happened to two courses I worked on.
That is enough.
I think our food is poisoned. Look at us, we're all fatter than prize hogs. And what about that little gnome that keeps wanting to poke us with his...
Stop it! Stop it! No more!
I'll tell you what burns my biscuits. Tiger's giant video game. That thing is even more dangerous to our revenue than Top Groff.
Speaking of tigers, there's a superintendent down in New Orleans with a zoo right next door to the course. Can you imagine what might happen if a tiger got loose?
Well, if New Orleans is anything like Atlanta, that tiger would get shot full of holes before he could get back to his cage.
Can we please get back on task?
You ask us what triggered us.
Did y'all know there's a golf course in Nebraska that charges hundreds of dollars for a tee time, and they sell out their whole year's supply of tee times in 55 minutes?
Bandon Dunes has a lottery now. Harder to get on there than to get elk hunting tickets in Wyoming.
Destination golf is the future.
No, it ain't. Tiger's giant video game is. You just said them kids prefer phones to outside reality.
Y'all wrong. High prices makes folks quit. They'll take up house painting or drugs.
Vail has prices so stupid it's insane. And folks ain't quit skiing there.
Just shows you how dumbed down we are now.
Y'all reckon arsonists trying to burn down California?
Media says it's just sparks from power lines.
Boof, you live right under those big power lines on number one fairway. You ever seen any sparks?
No, never have. But I have seen flying saucers use lasers to start fires.
Okay, I'm leaving. You people need mental help. Auf Wiedersehen.
Yeah, guten Tag, your own self. I'd hurry if I were you. Mama's out back heating up a tar bucket and ripping feather pillows open. Today's quote is from Marcus Aurelius, the last of the good Roman emperors, and a student of the ancient philosophy of Stoicism. The object of life is not to be on the side of the majority, but to escape finding oneself in the ranks of the insane. It's story time. What with all the fire running loose in these times, from the California wildfires to four school buses lighting up while they're charging, you know, we're going to have to switch to lithium phosphate batteries and get away from lithium ion. Anyway, here's a story about the time a wildfire was bearing down on our golf course. It was the fall of 1972, and we had just landed a nine-holer outside Atlanta. Dad was trying to bring it back to life with the only crew he could find, a bunch of worthless hippies, and a guy named J.F. He was an AM radio preacher. He was about 100 years old, and J.F.'s nephew, Shaky, and then there was Muckley, the lifeguard. Now, Muckley, although just a few years older than the rest of us, he was apparently caught in some kind of time warp. He wore Beach Boy clothes, and his hair greased up in a style somewhere between an early Elvis bouffant and a Conway Twitty slick down. Muckley was protected from actual work by a presidential decree, and he earned $5 an hour, roughly five times what I made. I didn't like Muckley, but the course owners did, therefore he couldn't be fired, and all he had to do was lifeguard during the summer. During the rest of the year, he did nothing. Still got paid. Did I mention I didn't like Muckley? JF drove our old F-10 twice a week during growing season, and he took Fridays off to write his radio sermon. Shaky, whose actual name was Shakespeare, also took Fridays off along with Saturday and Sunday. This made weekend duty kind of mandatory for me, with Muckley, JF, and Shaky unavailable for course prep. Dad was frustrated with this situation since it left him with a worthless crew led by 17-year-old me. Now, 53 years ago, we did not use the term hippie because that was for nerds. Still is. We were known as freaks in the cool vernacular of the time. I wore the standard freak uniform, flared Levi's with braids sewed around the hems that dragged on the ground, and an Abe Lincoln top hat and square red sunglasses along with shoulder-length hair. I was so cool, it still shocks me today. Then there was Hagenrufer. He was a guitar player. He had long hair and an endless collection of Rolling Stone t-shirts. There was Larry the Rabbit. He was a real tall, long-haired freak who was very good at growing plants out in the woods, and our most obvious freak was Hargus. Hargus had hair way down his back and more girlfriends than a rock star, and he said things like,
"Oh, wow, man."
And,
"Far freaking out, man."
Okay, now that you know who was working on Dad's crew, here's the tale of the forest fire that almost ate our golf course. We were raking leaves and edging bunkers when we noticed heavy smoke in the air. At first I thought Larry the Rabbit was testing something, but it was far too heavy a smoke layer for that. Dad came rolling up in his truck and told us we were being changed from golf course workers to firefighters. A firefighting crew had arrived to fight a wildfire on the eastern side of the course in a state park. They informed Dad that a large, fast-moving fire was also bearing down on us from the west, and they needed us to fight that fire until they could get the other fire under control, and then they would join us. We grabbed shovels and rakes and set off in Dad's truck to fight a fire without the slightest idea what to do. Now, you've heard about folks running around like the hare's on fire. Well, it didn't take long till that's what happened. We started fighting the fire on the ground because we couldn't reach any higher than that, and we did not realize that the fire on the ground was moving slowly. The fire in the trees, the yellow pines, that fire was moving at a great speed, and it passed over us and got in front of us. Hog and Roofer screamed, and when I turned to see what was wrong, he was slapping himself upside the head like a crazy person. His hair was on fire. I grabbed a canteen out of the truck and ran to put him out when Hargus ran screaming past me with his long rock star hair on fire too. I abandoned Hagen Roofer and his blaze to stuff my hair up under my stocking cap, and then I ran too. As I ran clear of the fire in the forest, Dad yelled at me.
Boy!
Dad had recently become a Christian and was no longer calling me damn it boy, just boy. But it sounded the same to me.
Boy, where's my truck?
I pointed back to the forest where his truck was surrounded by little patches of fire, and I'd seen enough action movies to expect it to explode any second.
Boy, go get my truck!
He said other things too, but I can't remember all of them. I ran into the fire feeling like some kind of TV hero rescuing the helpless truck, and managed to get it cranked. While thinking about Ford Pintos exploding, I ran over several small trees and burst out into the open without catching fire. Dad took the truck from me and grabbed Shaky and JF and Larry the Rabbit and ordered them to jump in the back of the truck, and they headed down toward the irrigation pump. I continued to shovel at the fire while watching as Dad hooked up a fire hose to the pump. It was a single 50 horsepower perched on a rotting wooden deck slowly sinking into the lake. Then he attached a fire hose to a stick of aluminum agricultural above ground irrigation pipe. Yelling and waving his hands around, Dad was ordering Shaky and JF and Larry to grab sections of the aluminum pipe, start connecting them together in the direction of the fire. About this time, old fella walked up to me and he looked at Dad and the chaos down that way, and then he said, "Son, that fire's gonna jump that power line using them small pines in about a half an hour, and then your clubhouse is gonna burn to the ground. Run and get a chainsaw and drop them trees, and have you got a tractor?" "Well, yes, sir," I replied while watching Hagen Roofer rolling around on the ground. "We got an old Ford down at the shop." "Well, go put a plow or something that'll dig on that tractor and get back up here quick so yous can cut you a fire break." "Yes, sir." I didn't ask what a fire break was. I just jumped in a golf cart and grabbed JF, who was happy to come with me and get away from Dad's weird fire brigade. And we went for a tractor and a chainsaw. The old man was gone when I got back, but I dropped a cluster of pines in about 5 minutes with a chainsaw while JF, who knew what a fire break was, got busy plowing. Dad's pipe brigade had reached the clubhouse by now and was soaking the area with lake water, at least until the pump burned up, and about that time the firefighter showed up with a dozer and a bunch of guys with what I think must have been mattocks. The firefighter in charge congratulated us on our quick thinking, obviously surprised that a golf pro superintendent, several hippie freaks, and a 100-year-old man could slow down a wildfire from burning our clubhouse to the ground. The owners, Poogly and Marvis, they arrived to help, while Muckley the lifeguard took credit for the firefighting techniques we used. I wondered out loud, "Muckley, how did you manage to accomplish that while hiding in the clubhouse?" But Poogly shushed me for being jealous of Muckley. Had I known Muckley was hiding in the clubhouse, I would have let the fire jump across the power line. I know what you're thinking. Is there a lesson in all this? Yes, several. Start looking for combustibles that can accelerate a fire, like brush piles near buildings and refueling points. Redesign your battery charging areas. Change batteries. Make all your hippie freaks cut their hair. And if you have any parasite lifeguards on the crew, you might want to deport them. Send them to California.
You've been listening to Rock Bottom Radio, broadcasting from deep in the TurfNet zone. Subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher for future episodes.